Let's prepare our hearts and minds for the receiving of the word, a reading from the gospel according to Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we're so thankful for this new day, for the time that we could gather here together, for the sun, for the smiles, for the good company. And God, in these moments, may you speak to us. Speak to us a word or an image, and invite us into this time and place to respond to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The story in the Gospel according to Luke takes place in a couple of locations, in the wilderness and in Jerusalem. When I was in seminary at Garrett in Evanston, Illinois, I still remember my Old Testament professor talking about this wilderness and describing this wilderness. She would say that the wilderness was the place where God met us. The wilderness is the place where God met the Hebrew people at Sinai after rescuing them from oppression in Egypt. And she would say that the wilderness was a place of not only meeting God, but encountering God in the midst of the difficulties in our lives and challenges. Harmful, hurtful, and even oppressive situations. In the wilderness is where God shaped them into God's covenant people. It was in this wilderness where God's people were cared for, provided for, led by God, even by cloud and by fire. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is also led this time by the Holy Spirit into this wilderness. On this first Sunday of Lent, as we have entered into this holy season, as some of us gathered on Ash Wednesday, we enter into this space, into this season, as if we're going into the wilderness. We enter it into a time trusting God is doing a work within us and within the world, shaping us to be more like the people God desires for us to be. The last few weeks in our family have been eventful, to say the least, for me and my family, both emotionally and spiritually. So much has happened. First, we were in the Philippines 3 weeks ago. It seems so long ago. 3 weeks ago, we were on a family vacation, going on our daily walks and adventures with Sarah, Jonah, and Emma in the beautiful 85-degree weather with a slight breeze, all during that snow blizzard here, eating freshly baked pandesal every single morning. And our family stayed in a beautiful 5-bedroom house all together, sleeping in, taking naps, preparing meals together, connecting and talking about life. It really was paradise, quality time. And then immediately after the Philippines, I went straight to the Bay Area, took a connecting flight to Korea, and then to the Bay Area to attend a retreat called the Academy for Spiritual Formation. It's a beautiful retreat comprised of clergy folks and lay people seeking to retreat and to be away from the daily routine of life, to care and tend to our soul, our spirit, entering into a rhythm of morning prayer and worship, listening to amazing faculty members teach on spirituality, and having the beautiful time and stretches of just silence. No kids running around. Not having to look or engage email. I went from an environment of being with family to being at a retreat by myself, practicing silence, not talking to others. It was so difficult and challenging. But what I loved about it was that it was a space, while going on walks, while being in silence, was to pay closer attention to my heart, to pay closer attention to notice conversations that I've recently had, to look upon certain relationships in my life and how they have affected and moved me, to pay closer attention to what Spirit was speaking to me in my circumstances. Two very different expressions of experiencing God's presence. In the Philippines, embraced by God's loving Spirit through the care and tenderness of being close to family, and then also a time at the academy where my soul was being attended to by the silence, having the space to be by myself, going on walks, admiring God's creation. But those two trips were suddenly shifted as I was boarding the plane. I told some of you, and we're so grateful for the prayers from my mom. But the story is, as I was boarding the plane in San Francisco to come back home to Seattle, my mom texted or messaged me and said, "I'm feeling a lot of tightness in my chest. I think I'm going to call 911. And I said, "Please do right now. Don't message." And as the plane was getting ready to take off, the last message that I saw from her was that, okay, they're here. The ambulance is here. Everything will be okay. And I could tell you now, that was the longest 2-hour flight in my life. So many thoughts. Is she really going to be okay? Is she going to make it? Then began thinking of my childhood and her tender, loving care, and also the difficult moments that many of us experience in childhood with our parents. I found myself in the wilderness on that flight. Even today, after quadruple bypass surgery, our family finds ourselves in this desert place of our life. Not only because it's painful, but it's a worry that we have for a loved one, not knowing how her recovering is going to go, and not knowing if she's going to be able to return to the life that she had, working full time. Kind of this in-between difficult space in the wilderness. It's funny how you think of words that professors say. You remember them all the time at the retreat and back at seminary, but it's this liminal place. It's this in-between place where you're being tested and refined. Some would even call it this threshold place, as if you're getting ready to enter in, but not yet. Friends, it is in this wilderness place that God invites us. Even though we may not be going through a difficult season or a circumstance such as mine, we all have our wilderness experiences, places, moments, relationships that we need to ponder. And it's in this wilderness that God seeks to speak to us a word. I want to show you an image, a picture here. Many of you might recognize that, but after my mom had quadruple bypass surgery a couple weeks ago, the doctor, it's a pillow, it's a heart pillow, actually showing the details and the intricacies of our hearts. And the cardiologist, the surgeon, actually pinpointed and showed where the blockages were. And there's four places, kind of can't see it, but there's four locations in that picture. I've learned throughout this entire process that I've always heard it, bypass surgery, but I never really understood what that meant. But it's a surgery that in which you take where there's a blockage, and the surgery is done to replace, to redirect blood around a section. It redirects blood around a section of a blocked or partially blocked artery in your heart to improve the flow of blood to your heart. And it involves taking a healthy blood vessel from your body and connecting it beyond the blocked arteries. As we enter into the season of Lent, into this wilderness season, we're seeking to alleviate things that block us, things that prevent us, things that prevent God from flowing and actively freely in us and through us. So as we move forward and journey on in Lent, let's notice, let's pay attention to those things building up in our lives. What are those things, those situations, those conflicts, those distractions preventing God from flowing in us and through us? Just want to show you a last couple of pictures. We're so grateful for all of your prayers of support and healing for my mom. And it's a wilderness place because we're really trying to decide and struggle with what life would look like immediately after the surgery. On one hand, there's rehab center, kind of like a nurse, skilled nursing facility. And then on the other hand, it was either having her at our place or at her home in Puyallup. But the reality was that we just didn't have the resources and the time, the capability to go to Puyallup. So she's at home with us. And we're so grateful. It's a picture of Emma holding up her medications and handing her capsules to her. I want to show you the next slide. It's a picture of her using a walker, and we're doing her exercises throughout the day, walking a minimum of 3 times a day, even just starting with 40 feet at a time. She's learning how to walk. She's strengthening and building up her muscles again. A huge part of this season in her life is the discipline and practice of walking, eating consistently, 3 meals a day, even though she doesn't have an appetite. In the same way, in this season of Lent, we have to exercise. We have to be disciplined in our exercises, even though in those moments we don't feel like it. We have to push. In our times of silence, in our crazy busy schedules, even taking time to pause for 3 minutes to be in silence. In our moments of prayer, before we exit our doors of the house, before we exit the front door, let us lift up a prayer for those that are on our minds and on our hearts. As we read scripture and as we fast, as we go on walks, these are all different types of disciplines that we could begin to engage this Lenten season. And many of us are doing that. But it's not the practices themselves that end. It's what these practices drive us to. And they drive us to the questions of how we're living. They drive us to the questions of how am I being a good neighbor today? How am I doing in my sharing with what I have, with the gifts that I have and the resources that I have with others? Especially strangers and the poor. They drive us to ask, how is my attitude today? I know I've been asking that myself a lot. What attitude do I convey to those who might rub me the wrong way or irritate me? How am I feeling in terms of being and feeling connected in this church body here at Blaine Memorial? How can I better see the needs of others here, those that I see each and every Sunday? Am I being as loving and patient and charitable and thoughtful to family members, just as I am to my friends? So, beloved of the Lord, let's join together our hearts, our lives, our practices this wilderness season of Lent, seeking to draw closer to the source of life. Let us pray. Holy One, as we enter into the season of Lent, we come to you. We offer our lives, O God, but even if we're not there, even if that isn't our prayer, God, we offer our thoughts, our questions, our attitudes. But God, in this moment, we thank you. We thank you that you draw us, that you are God that continually invites us. Oh God, you are the great inviter. In this season, oh God, empower us by your Spirit to gain a clearer picture of you and your grace and what you desire for us to be in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.